Praise the Lord. Message number 88. The title of the message, The Second Coming of Christ, Part 4, The Rapture. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come and study your word and learn good things from your word. O God, anoint my lips and put the word that you want to tell your people and arrange the message in the way that you want it to be delivered. I pray that you anoint the ears of those who listen so they will listen carefully and they will put into practice what they listen and take it as a way for their life and living. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Matthew 24 and let us read verse 36 to verse 41. What the Lord was speaking about the rapture. The rapture is when the Lord will come. The church, those who belong to Christ, the true followers of Christ, will be taken by the Lord. We know that Christ died on the cross for our sin around 2000 years ago. He was buried, but rose from the dead on the third day. On day 40, he ascended to heaven. And in day 50, he sent the Holy Spirit upon the church. And from that day till now, the church is filled with the Holy Spirit and the church is expanding. And we are waiting for the Lord to come. He may come at any time, even today, even now, as we are listening to his word. He may come. We need to be ready. The rapture, the Lord will take the church in a sudden way. There is no appointment day, there is no certain time fixed. The Lord spoke about it in Matthew 24 verse 36 to 41, what he said about the rapture. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a hand mill. One will be taken and the other left. So what we conclude here, no one knows the time. Only God the Father. Jesus did not say to us which time. The Bible did not say which time. The message here is that we need to be ready at all times, so when he comes, we are not surprised. The same before the flood came, Noah was building the ark and he was preaching to the people. The Bible say Noah was preacher of righteousness. He was showing from his life that there's a flood coming. People are not warned by his lifestyle until the day of the flood. When it started the flood, the people, they were not aware. When Noah entered the ark with his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight people all, And the Lord closed the door. The people, they were not aware up to this time what would happen to them. They were enjoying, marrying, singing and drinking, eating, planning for marriages, normal life for them. They live in sin, they are not aware that God's wrath is coming. The same here. When the Lord will come, only those who are prepared, they will be taken. All of a sudden, as we have read here, two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left behind. Two women, they are grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other will be left. So it is a normal day, a shiny day could be, and the Lord will come all of a sudden. And those who are ready will be taken. They'll be caught and taken by the Lord. We'll be caught and we'll be taken by the Lord, and we will meet the Lord in the cloud. We will read also Luke 17, what the Lord spoke about the day of his coming. Luke 17 and verse 26 and 27, the Lord say, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. So it is a sudden onset, as it was at the day of Noah when the flood came. The day before the flood, there was nothing abnormal. There's no danger, or there's no sign of coming calamities. Everything were normal, going on normal, and the people, they were doing their own life in their own way, their own simple way, till the flood came and took them all. We need to be ready and prepare. God's wrath will come. When the Lord will come, he will take those who are prepared. He will take us, we who are ready and waiting for him to come, as we have discussed the way to wait upon the Lord and his second coming, watching in all areas of our life, our families, doing our responsibilities and duties, and watching over the life of the people around us to lead them in the right way. The Lord will come at any time, so we have to be ready for his second coming. Let us read also Luke 17 verse 28 and 29. Lord is giving us another illustration about his second coming, to show that the rapture, he will take the church, he will take us in a sudden way, in the Bible speaks, it will be in a flash of light, in a twinkle of eye, in a very short period, the rapture. Those we who are prepared and ready will be taken by the Lord. So at all time you have to be ready, be prepared. Some they say that the rapture will happen during the tribulation period. That is most likely not correct, because when the Lord will come, his reward for those who are waiting for him, is that he will take us away and he will spare us the tribulation, he will spare us the flood. Because after the rapture, the Lord will pour out his wrath upon the earth. And also, during the period of tribulation, Satan also will pour out his wrath. Or God will use Satan to punish those who were not to prepare for his coming, or to punish the wicked, those who are living their life according to the evil style of living. Luke chapter 17, verse 28 and 29, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, but the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. The same, before the day that the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, people, they were living a normal life, drinking, eating, buying, planting, selling, building, transaction, business going on, planning for businesses, profits, and trading, a normal life. They were not aware that God will send his wrath. Same, Lord will come, it will be the same. One day before, everything normal. The day of his coming, after he would take us, after the rapture, he will pour out his wrath on earth. In Luke chapter 17, verse 32, the Lord say, remember Lot's wife. While he's speaking about his second coming, he put this notice, remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? In the book of Genesis, chapter 19, the Lord, when he planned to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent his angel to bring Lot and his family out to a safe place. In book of Genesis 19, verse 16 and 17, when he hesitated, meaning when Lot was hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters, and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. And hear the message, because the Lord is merciful to you. The Lord is pulling you out from the worldliness and from sin. Come out from Sodom and Gomorrah, from the worldly way of life and living, to meet the Lord when he would come, to live with him forever, to be with the Lord and with us, to spend eternity with the Lord together. Come out from sinfulness. Verse 17, as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. There was a safe place that the Lord had prepared for Lot and his family. But what he told them, flee for your lives, come out completely, don't look back, don't look back to the old life, to the sinful life, to the worldly way of living, don't look back to the old friends and people who is pulling you back to go back to sin. Don't look back and don't stop. Continue to move forward. As we are waiting for the Lord to come, we go forward and our eyes upward, moving forward to live our life unto him and preach the gospel and expanding and reaching others with the gospel, and our eyes also forward, waiting for Him to come and take us. What the Lord say? Remember Lot's wife? In verse 26, after the Lord sent His wrath, but Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. What we learn from Lot's wife and about his second coming? Lot's wife, she went out from Sodom and Gomorrah. She almost reached the place, but she did not enter. In the same way, you may walk with God long time, many years, but then you stop or you look back. Some people, they say, give us rest. You will be left behind. Remember Lot's wife. She almost reached, but she did not enter. We have to continue walking with the Lord until the day we meet Him in the air. Then we know that we are redeemed with a glorified body. What we learn from Lot's wife? Lot was not able to save his wives. In the same way, Lot was saved, but he could not do anything to his wife who looked back. Your husband cannot save you. Some people, they say, my husband is prayerful, he is obedient to the Lord, but he cannot do anything to save you when the Lord would come. You need to be ready. In the same way, some men, they say, my wife is very prayerful and obedient, but I am not. She cannot help you when the Lord will come to take us. You need to stand firm and work out your salvation with a trembling and fear. What we learn from Lot's wife also? Some people, they would say, well, she have done wrong. She looked back. Looking back, we explain that looking back to the old sinful life is disobedient to the Lord. But the mere action that what she did, she just looked back. It is a very small action, but that was a sinful before the eyes of the Lord. Some people, they will say, for their sin is a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's a sin. Sometimes they say, the people will say, it is only small sin. And what is wrong in that? This old expression. But what is a small sin for you, a mistake for you, or what is wrong with that for you, is a sin before God. You need to be serious with your life and your walk with the Lord. What you consider a small sin, mistake, that very thing will hinder you from meeting the Lord. You need to fully dedicate your life to God. Be ready from now onward, waiting for the Lord when He is coming to take us. Luke chapter 17 verse 34 and verse 35, the Lord say, I tell you, on that night two people will be in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be grinding grain together, one will be taken and the other left. What He say here, two people will be in one bed, most likely husband and wife, not a boyfriend and girlfriend, because a boyfriend and girlfriend, both of them the Lord will leave behind. They are doing immoralities. Husband and wife, one is fearful to God, will be taken, the other will be left behind. On that night the Lord said, so even before you sleep, you have to be ready. Because when He will come, if you are not ready, He will let you on earth. He will not take you. So what you need to do? Before you sleep, you have to make things right. Before you sleep, tomorrow, you need to decide what you need to do. Yes, Lord, I will do this. And you sleep. Otherwise, if you will not obey the Lord and commit your next day in the hand of the Lord and do what He wants you really to do, if you would come that particular night, you would be left behind. We have to be ready all the way. And that is an encouragement for us. We know that we are surrounded by so much wickedness, but we have hope in the Lord. We have received a promise from the Lord. We are suffering under trial, persecution, we are pressurized, but we know that we cannot do what the people are doing. We don't want to lose our eternity. We don't want to stop. We want to continue forward together. We don't like to look behind or backward. We have an encouraging word from the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 to 18. Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. What he say in verse 15, according to the Lord's own word, either he received it by revelation directly from the Lord, or he hear the word of Jesus from those who were in direct contact with Him while He was on earth. That is the word of Jesus. That when He will come down, who will be with Him? Those who have fallen asleep in Him, the saint in Christ, the Old Testament saint and the New Testament saints. Those who live their life for Christ and follow Him wholeheartedly till the day that they die and their soul was taken by the Lord and their body are buried on earth. When the Lord will come, they will go down first with Him, those who are dead in Christ, those who have fallen asleep in Christ. In verse 16, for the Lord Himself will come down and there with Him from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So with Him, the souls of the saints will go down, their body will rise up, and they will be transformed to a glorified body. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. When He will come down, the Lord, He will not reach the earth, but He will be in the cloud. with him the first batch, those who are dead in Christ, the saint, those who have fallen asleep, the New Testament and the Old Testament believers, the Old Testament and the New Testament saints, they will go down with him. Their souls will go down, their body will rise up, and they will be joining the souls, and they will become glorified bodies. They will go down with the Lord, and then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them. We will be also transformed into glorified body, and we will meet the Lord in the cloud, and we will be with the Lord forever. That also explained in First Corinthians chapter 15, how we will be transformed, and about the resurrection of the death, how the bodies that are buried, how it will become glorified or spiritual or heavenly bodies, and how we are, and how we who are still alive, who have a flesh and blood bodies, will become and transform into a spiritual bodies, or will be changed to heavenly or glorified bodies. We can read that about the resurrection of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we will read it from verse 35 onward to verse 53. Paul, he speak here about the resurrection of the body, and he use also some illustration. We'll go through it step by step, and we explain to make things clear to you. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. He gives here the illustration of the seed. When you put the seed, it has certain form, but when it is grown up to a plant, God gives it another shape. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, bears have another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. So we have an earthly body, flesh and blood and bones, and we have our own splendor, the beauty of the eyes, the hair, the face, the body beauties. That is the splendor of the earthly body. But also, the heavenly bodies have a splendor. When we are transformed to glorified bodies, we have our own splendor. The glorified body does not need to eat or drink or brush our teeth or sleep or take rest. These are the beauty of the glorified body. These are the splendor of the glorified bodies. In verse 41, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. He also gave here illustration. As the stars and sun and moon have their own splendor, their own thing that it shows that they are beautiful, created things by the Lord, the same. The earthly body that we have now and the heavenly body that we will receive when the Lord will come, it have its own splendor. Verse 42, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. The The body and the flesh body that we have is perishable. We may die. But the heavenly body that we will receive when He will come, it will never die. It is sown is dishonor. The body is dishonor because we have to pass urine, to pass stool, we have to eat. It is raised in glory. We don't need to do that. It is sown in weakness. The body may get weak, but the glorified body, you don't need to sleep or rest. It is raised in power. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So, what is the order? We have a natural body now. Then we will receive a spiritual body when the Lord will come. So it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The last Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first man was from the dust, that's Adam. The second man was Jesus Christ. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. The man from the earth, that is Adam, we bore the likeness of the earthly man. And also we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare to you, verse 50, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, verse 51, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In verse 52, in a flash, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So when the Lord will come, as we have read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. He say here, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, in a twinkling of eye, and we will be changed. Then we will be changed. So first, those who are dead in Christ, they will be raised to imperishable body, glorified spiritual heavenly bodies, as we have read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16, and the dead in Christ will be first, raised first, verse 17, and that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and see, and so we will be with the Lord forever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 52, the last part of the verse is saying, and we will be changed. So here the rapture is of sudden onset. There is no tribulation yet. So what we teach and what we preach here now, don't wait for the Lord to come and you will be missed, the rapture. You will miss to be caught up with us to meet the Lord in the cloud, so that you will be with us with the Lord forever. From now, be ready. During the period of the tribulation, there will be also many people who are left behind. There will be also hospice working. And there will be also some few groups remaining. There will be a chance, small chance for them to be raptured and to be caught up in the air. We don't teach that you wait to go into tribulation, then you repent. We say, repent now. Be ready now. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1 to 11, what the Lord advised and encouraged us through the message of Paul to the Thessalonians, and what Paul encouraged the church, and what I am encouraging you now as you listen to the message. Don't wait for the Lord to come, then you repent. Repent now and prepare yourself from now on, and continue to be prepared until the Lord would come, so we will be together with the Lord. Now, brothers, about times and days, we do not need to write to you. We do not need to write, and the Lord does not need to tell us which day He is coming, because He wants us to be ready all the day, all the day along, or the hours along. We need to be ready as long as we are aware and awake. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly because they are not prepared. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So let us not be like others. Don't be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. You need to be alert, be aware that Jesus may come even today, and self-control. Learn to say no to sin. Learn to stop sinning. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. Those who are indulging in the world, in the worldly spirit, in alcoholism, immorality, corruption, fight and forgiveness, hatred, idol worship, those are in darkness. You should not be part of them. But since, verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. Let us behave as a people who belong to God, self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. But you see here, God does not appoint for us to pass through tribulation. He did not appoint for us to suffer as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they suffer when God poured out His burning sulfur on them because they were not willing to repent. God does not appoint for us to suffer like the people at the time of Noah, who were destroyed by the flood because they were not willing to listen to the message and repent. God does not want you to repent, and it does not want you to suffer the period of tribulation when God will pour His wrath on the whole mankind who left behind. God does not want you to be there in the tribulation. He wants you to be with Him, to be caught up with us when the Lord would come. He died for us so that we who are awake or asleep, whether we are awake or asleep, Jesus died for us, whether we are alive or we are dead in Him, asleep in Him, we may live together with Him. Whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are fully awake, as if now, as you hear the message you are ready, or when you go to sleep and rest, your mind is ready and your life is ready to meet the Lord. Even if you are sleeping, the Lord will come, He will take you, will not be left, because you have set your heart and your mind on heavenly things. You live the doctrine and you walk the word of God, so that when He will come, you are there with us. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The purpose of the message is to encourage, to build you up, to build each other. As we are warning, we are building up. As we are admonishing, we are building you up. As we are rebuking, we are building you up. God is preparing His church, so when He will come, we are all together caught up with Him and meeting Him in the cloud, in the air. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word that you send to your church, to your people, because you love us, Lord. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that this message you send it for a great purpose. I pray for a harvest of righteousness in the life of your church and your people. I pray that everyone who hears the message will be ready, and he will be caught with us to meet you in the cloud, in the air, as you are coming to take us. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name. Amen and amen.